39 reads, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Good morning. If you open to follow along, keep your Bible there in Hebrews, because the lesson this morning is from Hebrews 11. Why that is, there's a few reasons. Few reasons why. One is that I just recently started reading Hebrews for myself. It's a great book. It's been really encouraging. Another reason is Friday night we had a devotional, and the devotional was about pursuing holiness. It's pursuing Christ, and we talked a little bit out of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we're given the example to look at of those who were in the wilderness who had their hearts hardened against God with disbelief. And so they didn't get to enter into the rest that God had promised them. And then Saturday, Charles, Robert, and I, we went up to Michigan to go and see Aaron and Anna and their family. And we all know what happened to them. Their barn had burnt down. And really, it reminded me of Job, especially when we got there. It especially reminded me of the situation with Job when we were there. Do you know, when we were there, there was not a single complaint. There was no negative attitude whatsoever. I remember one of the first things I heard come out of Aaron's mouth. I didn't get to hear him a lot at first because when we got there, the septic pump was not working, and so we were bucketing water out of their basement as soon as we had opened our car door. But one of the first things I remember hearing out of Aaron's mouth once that was over was, "God is good." Imagine, God is good after everything that they've been dealing with here in the last couple of weeks. God is good. And I know, too, even amongst our own congregation, that's the attitude of many who are dealing with hardship. God is good. And that passage we just read in Hebrews 10, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for the just shall live by faith." And that is ultimately the premise of this morning's lesson. The confidence that we have is in Christ. And that is a confidence, that is a promise that cannot be taken away from us. There is nothing that this world can do to shake that confidence. There is no hardship, there is no tribulation, there is no sadness, there is no pain that can possibly take away the confidence we have in Christ. The only thing that can do that is our own unbelief. And that is why we are told that the just live by faith. Because ultimately, those who received the promise are the ones who did just that. They lived by faith. And I think we have, not only in Scripture, but here amongst ourselves, great examples of people living by faith. Great examples of people living by faith. And so after that is said by the Hebrew writer, he goes into chapter 11. And I know it's a chapter that most, if not all of us, are familiar with. The examples of those who lived by faith. The encouragement that we have. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to look at those examples. Starting in verse 4 through 7, we have three examples for us. We have Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And so let's look at 4 through 7 of Hebrews 11. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Three examples. And by the way, I just want to point out, I used to pick verse 6 out of there and try and take it out and use it by itself. But you can't do that. You can't do that. Verse 6 only exists because of verse 5. So Abel by faith worshipped God in a proper manner. And he was counted righteous for it by God. Enoch by faith walked according to God. And so God did not allow him to see death. God took him up. What was the testimony left behind by Enoch? The testimony he had was that he pleased God. How did he please God? He lived by faith. He walked with God. And so you have verse 6. Because of the example of Enoch, you have verse 6, which says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I used to love to take that verse alone. But it is so much more fulfilling when you put it in context with the example right before it. It's by faith, by living your life, walking with God, that you're able to please him. And by the example of Enoch, we can take comfort, can't we? God is a rewarder of those who live by faith. God is a rewarder of those who hold fast their confidence. But let's keep going. Noah, through faith, by fear, obeyed God. He built the ark to save his household so that he could be delivered from the world. Three examples of faith. Abel. And you know, we read that story of Abel and Cain and Abel, and sometimes I feel like we can have, it's like a one-event mindset, right? So we're reading this, and it's the first time or it's the only time we read of them making, offering up sacrifices to God there in Genesis 4. We don't read that they do it all the time. You know, Abel offered up a sacrifice. Cain offered up a sacrifice. Cain wasn't happy, and so he went and killed his brother. This might have been something that was building up to this point. Could you think of maybe the relationship between Cain and Abel? Constant friction. Not being a one-time event, but constant friction between the two. And yet Abel still, by faith, was worshiping God properly, in spite of maybe his brother's attitude towards him. You look at Enoch, and Enoch, amidst a world of ungodly people, was still one who walked with God. And there are many who walk with God, but Enoch is special because he was taken up. He didn't see death. He pleased God. And Noah, of course, we know Noah. Noah, in the face of the rest of the world, naysayers, feared God and built the ark, obeyed him. Verses 8 to 12. 8 to 12, we're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him, as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Abraham went by faith. Abraham waited by faith. Sarah conceived by faith well after the age. In fact, verse 12, as good as dead even is the reference, right?
long past the age, by faith conceived. And in the end, by faith, from one man comes all of these descendants. All of these descendants because of the faith of Abraham. Verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So these that we're talking about, Abel to Abraham, they hadn't even received the promise yet, and yet they lived the way they did, by faith. They gave their life up to God, even though they had yet to receive the promise. And that is the example for us. Faith is not enacted because you are given something immediately. Faith is a way of life that you choose because you are trusting in God. Notice what it says there. In verse 16, God is not ashamed to be called their God because they lived by faith. They considered themselves strangers while here on the earth because they looked forward to something greater. They hadn't received it, but they knew they could count on it. They knew that they could wait for it, and so they lived by faith. They sought that homeland. God is not ashamed to be called their God. 17 through 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So, looking at what are normally called the patriarchs here, who are normally called the patriarchs, Abraham again being brought up. Abraham, in a part of his life that a lot of us are familiar with, the time when God said, bring your son Isaac to the mountain. And Abraham went to go do just that by faith, to offer up his son to God. And don't look at that example and think, oh, well, God stepped in at the last minute, so Abraham didn't have to offer his son up to God. That's not what happened. Abraham offered his son up to God, period. He didn't take his son back. His son was offered up to God. And it was through his son that the promise continued to go down the line, right? Through Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and so on. Do you see how that works? Abraham did offer his son up to God because by faith he knew that no matter what, God was going to fulfill his promise. What was God's promise? God's promise was that in Isaac your seed shall be called. Abraham knew that whatever was going to happen, God would pull through, even if it meant he had to have his son raised up from the dead. By faith, he offered his son up to God. And the other three, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, what I want you to see is that by faith, they trusted in God to the end of their life. Through the entirety of their life, they lived by faith. They trusted in God. They waited on him. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He was old. He was near the end of his life. Jacob, when he was dying. Joseph, when he was dying. To the very end of their life, they lived by faith. And so we see as we're going through all of these examples, not only do we live by faith in hardship, not only do we live by faith when we have yet to receive the promise fully, not only do we live by faith to our dying breath. We're not done yet. We still have a few other things to look at. But we live by faith. Look with me in verse 23 down through verse 29. Looking at Moses primarily. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Moses. And I look forward to the VBS coming up, looking at the Exodus, and we're going to talk a bit about Moses, is my understanding, but I look forward to it. It's something to be excited about. Moses is a great example of faith. And it's not just Moses. He starts off by talking about Moses' parents, right? Moses only stayed alive because his parents were the ones who hid him in the first place by faith. Just a side point, I originally wanted to preach on the sanctity of life today. So I want to make a side note because there is a point here. When his parents hid him, why did they do it? They saw he was a beautiful child. Now, is this because Moses as a baby was somehow more handsome than all the rest of the babies in the land? Pretty much every baby looks alike. It's just the way it is. A lot of babies tend to look almost the same way. They grow up to look differently, sure, I'll grant that. But Moses was seen as a beautiful child. Why? Because life is precious. Because in the midst of someone who is trying to murder newborn babies and infants, his parents saw, no, this is a precious gift from God. This is a beautiful child. Side point, I know, but keep it in the back of your mind. Life is very precious to God. His parents, by faith, saved his own life. By faith, he took on what is known as the reproach of Christ. Now, you think of Moses. How on earth could Moses knowingly take on the reproach of Christ? It's what it says. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to esteem the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater. Moses sided with God. He did. He might have been scared at times. He might have been nervous at times. We know that about him. But he sided with God. He didn't want to have the vanity of a life as an Egyptian because he wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He was one of God's people. He recognized that. And he made that his life. By faith, he chose in every instance, even in the instances where he was going to have to suffer with the rest of God's people. He took on the reproach of Christ over the passing pleasures of sin. And we see that through the faith of Moses, he pursued God. Moses had a relentless pursuit of God. He pursued God over Egypt. He pursued God over sin. He pursued God in the Passover. And he pursued God through the Red Sea. You think about each and every one of those aspects of Moses' life. How much faith it would take in God to get through that point. I can't imagine walking through what is supposed to be a giant ocean in front of me, right? A sea.
the Red Sea.
And I have no idea, you know, you've got the sea parted here and you've got walls of water on each side. Could you imagine? I would be trembling. My knees would be weak. It'd be terrifying. It would be an awesome event. Can't imagine. But to be able to walk on the dry ground and get across that. Wow. To turn away from the king's favor, Egypt, Pharaoh. By faith, Moses lived for God. And he was saved for it. Look with me, verses 30 through 40. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Could you imagine if the writer had given an exhaustive, a truly exhaustive list of all who had lived by faith up to that point? There's no way it could be done. There's no way it could be done. But we see these examples. Those who circled Jericho for 7 days with the trumpets. Where have you ever seen such a strategy used in war? Do you realize if you saw someone doing that outside your house, would you feel threatened in any way, shape, or form? You'd probably regard the person as crazy. Through faith, they did that, and the walls came as the song goes tumbling down. And Rahab, who was a harlot, because she received the spies by faith, all of the others that were named, I'm not going to go through all of them, but the hardships that they overcame and the victories that they won. Look at that in verse 33. They subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. It's interesting. They obtained promises, though they didn't obtain the promise, right? They did not receive yet the promise. It's interesting. And they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Look at all that they overcame. And it was all done by faith. Look how they lived in goatskin, sheepskin. They lived destitute and in poverty because they lived by faith. The things of this world were not important to them, period. Look where they lived. In the crevices of the earth. They didn't seek for themselves grand abodes here. Why? Because as we talked before, they recognized themselves as mere strangers on this earth, seeking out that better homeland. And so they lived by faith. They lived by faith. And they lived by faith, and because of that, the world was not worthy of them. Of whom the world was not worthy.
And until you read a passage like that, usually the only thing you have in your mind is, well, the only person that the world was not worthy of was Christ. Right? That's what I would have thought anyways. But it's a true statement that the world is not worthy of the followers of God even, of those who live by faith. All these having obtained a good testimony through faith. And so, chapter 12, the first two verses, and the last two verses of the lesson. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All of these examples we've talked about are there for our benefit, that we might walk and live by faith just as they did. Remember, they walked by faith even through the hardship, even through the destitution, even through the fact, after the fact, you know, they didn't receive the promise. They still lived by faith. Through the persecution, through the loss here in this world. But ultimately, who is our example? Christ. And you look to Christ, and Christ did all he did. He's the Son of God. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Because he himself was one who lived by faith, right? He trusted in his Father. He did the will of the Father. He did not stumble in any point. Yet he was tempted in every point. Jesus is our ultimate example of what happens to someone who lives by faith too. Because Jesus, after this life, after he was resurrected, after he completed the work for us, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So this morning, I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. And I'm going to get back to that idea from our scripture reading. Why did we read Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4? Give earnest heed to what the Son of God is saying. Hebrews 1 starts off that way. Now in this day we have spoken to us the word by the Son of God. It used to be done by the prophets. Now it's done by the Son of God. Hebrews 2, give the more earnest heed and do not neglect so great a salvation that's set before you. If you are a believer here this morning, my encouragement to you is to not just go to God in the times that are bad, but to go to God in every moment of your life, to live by faith in all times to the end of your life, and to hold fast your confidence that is in Christ. If you are a Christian, praise God for the promise that you have. And give your life to him fully. If there's any point where you find yourself struggling, now's the time. Ask for prayers, ask for encouragement, seek out advice, seek out help. And if you're not a Christian, if you've yet to come to Christ, what is the confidence we have in Christ? The confidence is, like is said in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus came. He died according to Scripture for our sins and transgressions, and he was raised according to Scripture to bring new life to many. If you want to grab a hold of that new life, won't you come as we stand and sing?